The content is the protected, copyrighted property of the Murthy Law Firm. Please listen to copyright information and restrictions at the end of this recording.
Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us for today's discussion on consular issues that are happening across the globe, with particular focus on the U.S. consulates in India. I'm truly honored and privileged to have my two esteemed colleagues from the Murthy Law Firm, Kanya Sanders, a very experienced attorney and the co-coordinator for the H-1B non-immigrant department at the Murthy Law Firm, and our esteemed colleague from our affiliate office, Murthy Immigration Services Private Limited, sometimes referred to as MISPL, or as MurthyIndia.com, Senthil Kumar. And they are just amazing, with a great team that has a very, very heavy focus on consular issues. And so I know that many people are wondering what's happening, are a little scared and nervous, are not sure what's happening. And so, Senthil, if I could invite you to start and sort of provide a little bit of a background on what's happening for students, for H visa applicants, L visa applicants, you know, what's going on in India right now.
So thank you, Sri, for the introduction. And it's an honor and pleasure to be part of this. And I'm sure it will be very helpful for a lot of applicants around the globe. So with respect to the H, L, and F visas, most of them will be aware, right, whether all the appointments starting December 15, 2025 have been either canceled or rescheduled to later part of 2026 or 2027 in some cases. And as of today, many appointments that have been scheduled until March of 2026, any H-1B appointment that was scheduled until March 2026 have been rescheduled to next year or later part of this year. And unfortunately, no new appointments have been available after December 15, 2025 for H applicants. And the H-4, very sparsely, they are made available from time to time. And, if you look at the L applications also, very, very few and very sparse, it's been released. So hardly very few are able to get an appointment for L visa as well. And for students, again, they do release some slots when compared to the H and L, it's much better. But then again, it's very, very limited slots are being, released, I think, because of additional scrutiny for social media.
Thank you so much, Senthil. I know you've given us a quick overview and sort of explained what's going on in the non-immigrant visa space, but I think it's very important for us to briefly maybe touch upon what's happening, because very few employers will be willing to wait for a year plus for an employee to rejoin them in the U.S., and so the emergency appointments obviously are becoming much more important because spouses are separated, children are separated from one parent, whatever, right? A lot of things are going on. So just a quick update from what I understand, what's been going on, and I know you've been very helpful in sharing some of this information also, so feel free to jump in, Senthil, if you need to. One needs to obviously have an existing appointment to raise a request for an emergency appointment. On top of that, the requests for the emergency appointments are very, very often being turned down, both for H-1B and H-4 visa applicants. One of the things that was quite interesting and a little unnerving was that if a visa appointment was rescheduled to a future date after the completion of the biometrics, then the option to request the emergency appointment is no longer available on the dashboard. The only option in such cases is the individual needs to email support-india@usvisascheduling.com to try to get an earlier appointment. And again, one final important point is a request for an emergency appointment can apparently only be raised twice with one fee payment. If they turn it down both times, then the person is required to cancel the existing appointment, pay the visa application fee again, and schedule another appointment before having the opportunity to raise another emergency request. Now, obviously, given the fact that there are no interview dates, visa interview dates for non-immigrant visas, which are available for H visa applicants. This option should not either be exercised with great caution or avoided. And so this whole thing is really quite complex the way it's become for most people. So what about the general visa application status, what you're observing in India, Senthil?
Yes, before I get to that, you're absolutely spot on with respect to the emergency appointments. With respect to the general visa situation, there have been a lot of changes. One is they have stopped entertaining third country national applications. So earlier people used to be able to travel to the neighboring country and apply for a visa if interview slots were not available in India, but that's no longer the case. That has been discontinued. So one will have to apply either from the country of origin or the country of residence. So outside of the United States, the last resident outside of the United States. So that narrows it down to India for most applicants who are from India. And also there has been a shift in narrowed down on the eligibility criteria for the drop box appointments. Okay, right now only B1, B2 applicants are eligible for the drop box if certain conditions are met. The visa should not have been cancelled or revoked after it's been issued, and there should not have been any new inadmissibility. For example, if they had a DUI after the visa was issued, then probably the visa might have been cancelled prudentially. Even if it is not, they're not eligible for the drop box. And earlier applicants younger than 14 or over 80 or above, they were able to use the drop box facility, but that's no longer the case. They will have to appear for a personal interview, but they don't have to appear for the biometrics. So applicants below 14 or above 80 don't, though they have to schedule the biometric appointment, any representative can take the DS-160 for just verification. They don't have to appear in person for the biometrics, but for the visa interview, they have to apply, appear in person. And the other issue is, like earlier, for R1 and so R2 applicants and O3 applicants, everybody were able to request for and obtain an interpreter, but now they're restricting it only for B1, B2 applicants. And some H4 applicants also are being able to get an interpreter, but for other categories, they are not providing an interpreter. So it's important for applicants to be prepared to answer the question in English, because it's very unfortunate, because some of the R2 applicants, especially religious workers, they are from a lower economic background or they don't have knowledge on English, but they find it extremely difficult to communicate, but they don't have a choice. And also, the possibility of getting an interpreter is better if they apply from there. For example, if they want a Hindi interpreter, it will be available across all the consulates. But if they want Telugu, then it's better they apply from Hyderabad. And if they want Canada or Tamil, then it's better they apply from Chennai. So it's important to choose the right consular post if they need a translator. And also, we see that there is more highest level of scrutiny for O visa applicants, especially with the H-1B regulations that have been tightened. So many people want to take O as an alternate, but then the scrutiny is much higher for the O applications. And even for religious workers, we feel that the applicability of 214B is more liberal than it used to be.
Great, thank you so much, Senthil. I know you have so much experience and information with candidates contacting you all at MurthyIndia.com. Also, I think another important point is social media related issues. So previously, it's student visa applicants on F, M, and J and their dependents were required to keep their social media accounts public, but now this has been expanded to both H-1 and H-4 visa applicants who are required to keep their social media accounts public. Obviously, it is advisable to keep the social media handles public once the appointment is scheduled or has been scheduled for you. There have been instances where the interview has been canceled and in some cases a 221G refusal has been issued because the consulate was unable to find, I guess, the social media handles. So there's, again, a lot happening in this space. You need to monitor the latest. If you're not sure, of course, contact Senthil and his entire legal team in India at MurthyIndia.com. The next issue, changing gears a little bit, is the DS-160 related issues, right? We are often both Murthy Law Firm in the U.S. and Murthy Immigration Services, Murthy India abroad in India, are approached with questions relating to non-immigrant visas and particularly the form DS-160. Kenya, if I can have you jump in, what are the circumstances under which one can submit a new DS-160 and how do applicants notify the consulate of this new DS-160?
Thank you, Sheila. Yes, we get this question a lot as to, you know, how can we change information on a DS-160 once we have, you know, either submitted or prepared it, you know, and circumstance has changed. So the DS-160, you can prepare it and it will be active for 30 days from, you know, from the initial, you know, date of access. So that means you just have to, every time you access, you get another 30 days. So so that way you can keep it active without submitting it. However, once you, you know, without submitting it, you can schedule the interview. One can initiate the DS-160 and then you get the CEAC number to pay the visa application fee and schedule an appointment before submitting the application. However, the application has to be submitted at least 2 business days prior to the date of the biometric appointment. So once you schedule the appointment, the application interview appointment, you also get the biometric appointment. So, you know, you can keep it without submitting, but you do have to submit it at least 2 days before the biometrics appointment. Now, this is not the case for all countries where you can schedule the visa appointment before actually submitting the visa application. You just have initiated it. So, you know, so one does have to check what the policy and process is for each country to see whether, you know, they are able to schedule the visa appointment before submitting the application. Now, say you have submitted the application now, but then circumstances change before the visa interview. So you do have to generate a new DS-160 and, you know, you will have a new number. So you would need to take the new DS-160, the new CES number to your biometrics appointment with the old application. And you would need to request them during the biometrics to update the new CEAC confirmation number on the existing application. Am I correct, Sandil? That is the process, right?
Yes, that is the process. And also, just to add to this, there are some countries which require the DS-160 to be completed even before you schedule an appointment. But India is not a part of that yet. So applicants should just check the current status before they do this because we don't want them honoring them at the interview. But for now, whatever you said, you're spot on. This is only 2 options that is available. And generally, I encourage applicants to keep it open because the interview wait times are much longer. So if you keep it active, you can provide the most accurate information on the DS-160. So that is very important to keep it, accurate. And like you rightly pointed out, if the DS-160 number, the passport number does not match the one on the appointment letter, then they don't honor the application. So after waiting for a year, if somebody, you know, misses out on maintaining the 30-day refreshing and they lose out on the DS-160, then they'll have to restart the whole process all over again.
Great discussion. Thank you so much. So the other issue that, of course, many of us are seeing is the prudential revocations of visas, right? So what's a prudential revocation? It's where the U.S. Department of State sends a letter saying we're prudentially revoking the visa, even in cases of something that may have happened 15, 20, 25 years ago, because I did a whole bunch of consultations on this issue. The person after that has received multiple visas, multiple appointments, gone through it, been tested by the, you know, doctor abroad, all the stuff, right? But more recently, we're seeing late 2025 and early 2026 that visas are surprisingly also being revoked for dependents on H-4 or L-2 visas where the spouse had a prior DUI-related arrest or conviction. So if those people are abroad, that's definitely going to create problems for them. I guess, Kenya, you look like you want to say something.
Yes, what I want to make note is that if you're in the U.S. and they revoke the visa, that does not impact your status. As long as you're in the U.S. on valid legal status, say you're on H-1B with an unexpired I-94 and you're working for the H-1B employer, the revocation of the visa does not impact your legal status in the U.S. It's only if you were to leave the U.S. and you would have to apply for a new visa to return and then be prepared, you know, to be stuck with a 221G, you know, because of the underlying reason for the visa revocation.
Correct, correct. Excellent point. Visa is mainly an entry document, and a lot of people panic when they get that and assume like, oh my God, should I leave the country? Will I lose my job? Don't panic. Don't leave. Don't pack up. Don't send your family. Don't do anything. Hang in here and keep doing your extensions and renewals because, of, as Kanya correctly pointed out, it only applies for entering the country from abroad. And so this is truly actually unfortunate because it's happened even after subsequent visa approvals, no new violations, arrests or convictions. Okay, so what about, are there any other changes to the immigrant visa processing now in India, Senthil?
Okay, that's a good one. Because right now, you know, with all the changes that have been coming up with the non-immigrant, you know, the immigrant side, we see that there is a kind of a delay in the NVC scheduling the appointments because earlier, once the case becomes documentally qualified, within about a couple of months, we used to have the final interview being scheduled by the NVC. But now there are some cases where it has taken up to 6 months for them to schedule an appointment. So what happens is we need to wait for the appointment letter confirmation before one takes the medical exam because the medicals are valid only for 6 months. So if they end up taking, you know, the medicals and then, you know, they have to wait, they may have to redo the medicals or the visa will be issued for a shorter duration. So that is something which people have to be careful about. And also the validity of the police clearance certificate they have to look out for because of the additional delays in visa being scheduled. If the beneficiary of an immigrant petition has worked in the U.S. and earned 40 quarters, then they are exempted from the requirement for the I-864. So earlier, we used to have this form I-864W, which they can complete and upload. But now the I-864W has been phased out. So for people who are applying for an adjustment of status, there is a question you know, to this effect on the 485 itself, so that is taken care of. But for people who are applying from the consulate, after they get the letter from the NVC, once they log into the portal, there is an option for fee exemption. They have to click on that and they have to upload proof of the 40 quarters that they have earned in the U.S. So that will be like an SSN statement and a letter explaining and why and how they are eligible for the exemption of the I-864. So the NVC will review it and then make the case documentally qualified. And also, recently, the consulate started sending an email a couple of weeks ahead of the interview detailing each of the mandatory documents that are required. And if any of the documents need to be provided afresh, they are just notifying by email, which is a good thing. And all the missing documents, the visa applicant should carry it for the visa interview. And they should also upload this on the CAC portal. And even up to one day prior to the visa interview, they can keep uploading the documents. And in cases where the DS-260 needs to be updated, because as I told you, there are a lot of this long delay in the visa interview being scheduled. So if there's any change of address or any other information, or if they notice a mistake which they want to correct it, the applicants can write to support-india at usvisascheduling.com. support-india@usvisascheduling.com. And earlier, if you just request them to reopen the DS-160, the support staff used to do it. But off late, they are also asking for the exact reason why they want the DS-260 to be reopened. And once they provide the details, the form is reopened and the applicant can update all the information and submit it. So that is the, this is what's the latest in the immigrant section.
Thank you so much, Senthil. I know we're very mindful of the time. We'd like to wrap up in about 20 minutes. So thank you. I want to thank both Senthil Kumar and Kanya Sanders. On behalf of myself, Sheila Murthy, and the entire Murthy Law Firm team and the Murthy India team, we are honored that you could join us today. One final point that we're going to mention briefly is you definitely need to check and double check and triple check your online I-94 card issued to you on the cbp.gov website immediately after any travel abroad and return to the U.S. because a lot of people miss the expiration date of the passports and other reasons. You need to check that to ensure that you are not causing complications for yourself. Again, on behalf of all of us, we thank you so much for joining us today. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Stay safe, stay healthy, and you know that we all at the Murthy Law Firm are truly honored to continue to guide, mentor, and advise you. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Unauthorized recording or dissemination of these materials without prior permission is prohibited by law. Learn about our firm, how to engage our services, and more at www.murthy.com.